A great woman once said, compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye, and say no. You move. This week is a special episode as we're going to talk about the movie sweeping the world, Captain America: Civil War. This is Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Got a new episode every week. This week is a special episode as we are talking solely about the biggest movie in the world currently, Captain America: Civil War. It's a Marvel movie, in case you didn't know. The first 15 minutes or so are going to be spoiler-free. So for those of you that have not seen the movie, you'll know where we stand. We'll give you a spoiler-free review. The whole works. After that, the gloves are off, and we are going to war. Be sure to get the hoe on the go with our Apple or Android apps. Just look for The Hollywood Outsider in your app store of choice. You can find us on iTunes. Reviews are really appreciated. Please, if you've got time, just leave us a review. Really helps the show. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. And if you can, when you're listening, when you're done, or while you're listening, please share the show with your friends. Throw it on your social media. Be sure to tell everybody that you're a hoe and you're proud to be a hoe. Come on now. Be a proud hoe. I also want to mention real quick to check out our Remake This Movie Right podcast. That's a bi-weekly podcast. It's totally separate from The Hollywood Outsider, but it is part of The Hollywood Outsider Network, where we basically take a movie that's being remade and we try to remake it how we think it should be made. We recently just did an episode where we remade Spider-Man, and I think it just might be better than the Marvel movie that's coming up. We'll see. But it is a totally separate podcast. If you want to listen to that, just go to either subscribe to Remake This Movie Right in your podcast app of choice, or visit RemakeThisMovieRight.com. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow hoes, Scotty Clark.
What is happening, Aaron?
Not much. Hey, do you ever get offended when I say Scotty? Would you prefer I called you Captain Clark or something?
Captain Clark? No, yeah. Scotty's my nickname. It's my gamer handle and everything. So.
Oh, well, it all comes back to Nerdville. And also, Brian Williams, thanks for being here, B.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Oh, man, Justin couldn't be here this week. So what do you guys think? You had a lot of fun last week. I wasn't here. And Scott, Alfred Hitchcock, overrated director. I got a little bit of a bone to pick, but mostly I'm going to pick it and then shove it straight up your bum is really what the plan is.
Nothing about Kurt Russell, just the Alfred Hitchcock.
I could let Kurt Russell slide, my friend, but talking about Alfred Hitchcock is overrated. The greatest, single greatest director of all time. This is undisputed. Really, it's undisputed. Undisputed. The mute button, where is it? It's undisputed. It's here. You sons of bitches.
What about Michael Bay?
Really? He's second.
What about Ang Lee? I mean,
yeah. What he did to the Hulk. Literally, what he did to the Hulk.
God. The only man to actually beat down the Hulk.
Yes. That's a good, great analogy. Well, we're going to do a little something different. This week is going to be all about the biggest movie in the world currently, which is Captain America: Civil War. We generally do a reactions cast, and usually we do it separate, but this is going to be a mega episode. I know we're going to talk people's ears off, so it's just going to be the episode this week. Next week, we'll have a fantastic episode for you as well. This is Captain America, Marvel's Captain America. Somebody said I had to say Marvel's. I don't know why. Is there another Captain America somewhere I'm not aware of?
It's not like the real Ghostbusters. It was.
Well, you know, the Chinese, they knock off everything, so.
Oh, yeah. Piss them off, Brian. Get them going. There you go.
Yeah.
They got, like, Lieutenant USA or something out there.
Oh, I got Lieutenant.
Well, no, it's outright Captain America, but he's got a red costume and a blue star, you know, something a little bit slightly different.
Enough to not get sued.
Right.
Well, we are going to be joined for, here's how it works. Okay, every fall we have a whole fantasy football league that Brian runs. Brian's in charge of it. He's the boss. And the winner, which I believe actually beat Brian, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Shut up. Okay, where's that mute button again?
It's only on my end. So the winner gets to come on and review, who once again beat Brian, gets to come on and review a movie of their choice anytime throughout the year. They get to choose. Sean McGuire won this past year, and he only wanted to talk about Captain America. Way back in, when did he beat you, Brian? I'm going to keep pointing it out. January? Was it January?
January, yeah.
Back when he beat Brian, he clearly said, I want to come on when Captain America's talk. So he's going to come on for just the spoiler-free portion, and we're going to talk about that. He's been waiting patiently for months, so he's going to join us here in just a second. But before I get to that, I just want to say There's really nothing else to say. Let's just get into it. Got nothing else.
Well, that, golly, that profoundness is profounding.
Yeah, it's what? That's not even a word. Profounding
is now.
Yeah. Well, it's like fleek. We can just make up words as we go.
Fleek.
Isn't it fleek? Yeah. That's so fleek.
Yep.
Thing now.
Yep. Yeah. It's all, yeah. It's on fleek.
Is that something the kids are saying these days? Or
yeah.
I've never heard
it's got
that.
It. It's like so 2014, maybe 15. Get with it. Hello. Oh,
God, that's so fleek.
That's totes adorbs.
Oh, no, see, that was 2014. You're behind. You're like the old guy. You're like a guy who wears jean shorts. Oh, I brought it back, didn't
oh,
I?
Oh, you did not.
That's what you get for Alfred Hitchcock.
Wait, that's bad?
Oh, not in the South, it's not.
Brian's wearing them right now.
Yeah.
All right.
She's wearing something.
They're dressy and versatile.
Do you wear a shirt with your overalls?
Depends on what month it is.
All right. Let's get Sean here because people don't want to hear us talk about this stuff anymore. Hang on one second. Let's bring Sean on the line. All right. Sean McGuire, you are here. Welcome aboard to the hoe for the spoiler-free review of Captain America Civil War.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's an honor. And it's my pleasure for, whooping all you guys in fantasy football. So
it starts.
The gauntlet's been thrown, wow, man.
Especially, and it was especially nice because I think, didn't I play Brian in the final game there?
No. Was it Brian? I can't recall.
Yeah, because you weren't even in the league.
Oh.
So.
Wow. Yeah, I got a dog in this fight.
Just to be fair, yeah. I gave up my spot so a listener could play. So
yeah, but we had room. I think you were scarred.
Yeah, that's quite possible. All right, so we are going to talk about this movie. We're going to talk about Captain America. Now, Sean, because you won, because you whooped Brian's ass, you get to tell us what is Captain America Civil War about.
Yeah, I just first want to say what it's not about. It's not about the huge overarching Civil War storyline if you're familiar with the comics. So that being said, we have a long story arc that starts before the Avengers and with their actions in the previous Avengers movies kind of carries forward to about a year later when you see them battling it out with some villains and some events take place that set in motion basically the world saying that we've kind of had enough of this non-oversight of your group, and they are missing some of the Avengers, but we don't want to get into who. And that kind of kicks off what they call the Accords, and group gets together and kind of has to mull over the idea of having oversight. They decide that they can't do that, and you have a split in the group. And from there we have some political backlash taking place, and you see that half the group decides that maybe they don't think this is a good idea, and the other group decides maybe it's not a great idea, but it's going to happen anyway, so therefore we need to listen to the Accords and have some oversight. And in the meantime, what happens, our old friend Winter Soldier shows back up, a political assassination vis-a-vis Steve Rogers. Captain America decides he needs to go find Bucky, and then we have the other half of the group kind of hunting them down, which leads to a big clash.
Would you say it leads to a civil war?
It does lead to a civil war.
I'll be glad when this movie's out because I'm tired of Lincoln jokes. Seriously. everybody wants to make a Lincoln joke right now. All right, so what do you guys think? Now we know what it's about. Appreciate that, Sean. Brian, what is your spoiler-free review and your score of the movie? Paragraph or so. I mean, we don't have to go too into it, but what did you think of the movie and what did you rate it?
As interwoven, as you kind of alluded to there, Sean, the Civil War, and I'm doing bunny ears here, Civil War story, I really kind of felt like that the story itself was fairly thin. I mean, you had the basic, there really didn't seem to be a whole lot there. There was a lot of, little events that kind of made a little progress and just kind of led from one fight to the other. It seemed like there could have been a little bit more arguing, debating and stuff. This is the first one that I've actually enjoyed watching the Black Widow. Not really the biggest fan of her. This time she finally seemed tough. The fight scenes were fantastic. There were some good surprises. Thoroughly enjoyed it, but it wasn't really necessarily moved by it. So I'd give it a 8 out of 10.
Okay. Scotty, what do you think of Captain America: Civil War?
Well, what's strange is that I feel like I'm the highest on this movie out of the four of us, which is weird.
By like 50 cents, man. It's not like...
Well, I know, but...
You're one bad rapper ahead of us. That's what you are.
One bad rapper. But I was teetering between an 8.15 and a 9, and to me that's odd because I always feel like I'm the one that isn't as high on comic book movies as you guys are, but I walked into this movie, just could not wait to see it, and it felt like a perfect kickoff to summer movie for me. Mm-hmm. It gave me everything I wanted in terms of incredible action scenes, showing me familiar characters while also introducing me to brand new ones that I've never seen. Because, as you guys know, I haven't read this story. I don't know any of these characters. So when I see this new villain and these new good guys, it's all brand new to me. And it was just so awesome. It made this series in particular, and it bookends with this one, makes a comic book story feel almost real. I understand that Captain America, the way that he became a superhero, was kind of fantastical in a superhero realm.
Almost real. That might be stretching it.
Well, I mean, outside of some of the fantastical stuff that happens, you know, especially at the airport scene, Captain America is like, his power is just that he's super strong. You know what I mean? It's not like he shoots lasers from his eyes or flies or, you know, he's very built, very strong. But
gorgeous. That's what he is, a specimen.
He kind of is, but I think the movie had some minor pacing issues that Brian alluded to. I actually kind of dug the story in terms of what was happening, but it just dragged a little bit here and there. And movies always lose a couple points or a couple cents, whatever, for shaky cam. And it felt like there was some unnecessary shaky cam. But still, this kind of solidified Captain America, weirdly enough, as my favorite series in the Marvel Universe. I am 100% in love with this trilogy, and I never thought I would be in a million years. So if $10 were the full price of admission, I would pay $8.50.
All right. Now it's my turn. I love Captain America. Love Captain America. He's my favorite of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I wish this wouldn't have been Avengers 3, because it is exactly Avengers 3. People were like, no, it's not. It's Cap-centric. No, it's Avengers 3 with Cap in the lead, which is kind of what Avengers are. So... yeah, it's an Avengers movie. I really wish he would have gotten like his own solo ending to his personal trilogy, but it is what it is. It's still a really fun movie. I totally agree with Scott. The shaky cam direction, especially that opening action scene, as much as I liked it, it was really irritating and frustrating, and I thought it was poorly done. Like, for a Marvel movie, I thought it was poorly done. For any movie, I thought it was poorly done. But... overall, it got better. It didn't have that throughout the movie. It was just like that first scene. And the first hour kind of took a little bit to get going. But once it gets going, man, it just goes. And one action scene near the end is probably one of the best comic book action scenes I've ever seen. And we'll talk about that when we talk spoilers. But if $10 full price of admission, I give it $8. I really enjoyed it. Didn't love it as much as Winter Soldier and First Avenger, but it's right up there.
Speaking of the intro, didn't that almost feel like a James Bond introduction?
A little bit. I think they were trying to replicate Winter Soldier's opening, and it just wasn't as good to me. Mm-hmm. To me, anyway. Sean, what's your spoiler-free review?
I agree with mostly what Scott said, except that I don't think that it had enough build-up for the dichotomy of Iron Man. His story arc is prevalent throughout the whole thing, but we don't ever really understand why he... picks his side right away, and that bothers me. And I didn't appreciate the shaky cam either, so I have to give it an 8.50.
The same thing Scott gave it, so you guys are like simpatico.
Well, he gave it a 9. I gave it an 8.50.
No, I was teetering at a 9. I gave it. I brought it back down to 8.50. Yeah.
Yeah. He lowered himself. He stooped to your level, is what he did.
Yeah. Okay. And then in the universe, I would say that Winter Soldier is still my second favorite, so I don't know. This has to fall maybe fourth or fifth. I don't know who would fill in the other spots. Avengers is number one.
As it should be. Well, that brings us to, where does it land in the pantheon of Marvel films? Scotty, where does Captain America Civil War land for you?
Well, as much as I like this, I still think I liked Winter Soldier a little bit better. So I think I would rate that one higher, but... man, I was going through the list and really kind of struggling to think which ones I liked better than Civil War. And it's also difficult to rank them right now because I'm so high on the movie. I just saw it like last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm still like, it's still fresh in my mind. And whenever I think about ranking movies, I think about, you know, would I watch it again? And right now, I would definitely watch Civil War again. like hands down. So take that with a grain of salt. But really, the only ones that I could think that I like better than Civil War and Winter Soldier, probably Guardians of the Galaxy, and the original Iron Man, and probably Avengers. So it'd probably be in there about number four, number five.
Yeah, I think mine would probably be about the same place. I do think the other two Captain America movies are better. I really have a special place in my heart for the first Avenger. I just love the setting, and I think Cap and Peggy Carter are the best relationship in any of the MCU films, any of them. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's a beautiful relationship, and I'm still, I'll get to that point. But it's one of those things where I loved the movie. I had a great time with the movie, but I think Guardians, which is almost its own kind of thing. It's not even really part of this to me.
Yeah.
But Avengers 1 is better. The first Iron Man, I don't necessarily think is better, but I think because of what, none of these would exist without it. So I kind of give it, all right, maybe you're in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think this is probably like four or five for me.
I really expected you to say Deadpool above those two.
Deadpool's not part of MCU because I like Deadpool better than this. But
oh, okay.
It's its own thing. So people don't understand. Marvel Cinematic Universe is the movie that were only produced by Marvel. Deadpool is Marvel property, but it's owned by Fox. So it's a whole little thing. And if you don't know what it is, you don't want to know. Keep living your life. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's more X-Men than it is Marvel.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, X-Men is Marvel.
Well, property, cinematic universe.
Gotcha.
Aaron, I have to ask, what do you think, though, about the amount of heart that's in this movie? There's several key players that, you know, you feel for, and you get, it gets you in the feels a few times.
I think there's a lot of manipulation in this one, personally. I think one specific moment that happens near the end, I do think they set it up in Winter Soldier, and I can speak to that at another time, but it wasn't necessary for where they were. I just felt like it was one of those things that was shoehorned in to cause a huge conflict. It was a very convenient issue, but overall, yeah, I mean, there's some heart there. There's one character who their departure from the series I thought was handled very poorly, but I will talk at that in a spoiler fashion. I don't want to spoil what that is and how they end up leaving the group. But
well, to your point, Aaron, that's something that always kind of bugs me about these comic book movies, or Marvel, DC, whatever, that these characters always like are at odds with each other and they have their little mini battles. And then in the next movie or by the end of this movie, they're just best buds and you know, they've forgotten the conflict that they had before. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, why does it bother me in a movie when that happens in everyday life with everybody? Watch anybody that complains about their significant other on Facebook, and then 2 weeks later they're making a post about how mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do without this person in my life. So, you know, why does it bother me in a comic book movie when that's more real than the stuff that these guys are doing in the movie?
Well, that's what I mean? Not what I'm talking about, but I'll tell you later. I'll tell you soon. How about that? I'll tell you soon what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're referencing. I'm just talking about in general with characters fighting and yeah, then getting along later.
I got you. Well, sometimes you got to hug it out, man. You got bro hugs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You
just
do bro, how many times have we done that?
We're going to do that later, probably. You know, you never know. Brian, where's this land for you, Pantheon of Marvel films?
Yeah, it's middle of the pack somewhere, 5-6 range. Again, it's one of those I like it a lot. It is too new to, I think, honestly rank it, but it's definitely middle of the pack. There's a high rewatchability factor with this one, which I think is crucial to the ranking. So Winter Soldier, I liked. I didn't realize how many times I would end up rewatching it. I've probably seen it just from catching it on cable, stuff like that. I mean, probably 8 or 10 times, way more than I ever thought I would really watch it. So, and I think this has got that kind of rewatchability where you may not necessarily put the disc in the player and watch it, but you're flipping channels. It's something to watch while you play on your phone or mm-hmm. clean house or you know, one of those type of movies. So it's up there, but it's not in the upper echelon.
And Sean, finally, Sean, as your parting thought, where does this baby land for you?
Probably somewhere in the order of 5th or 6th. It's one of those things where most Marvel movies are kind of like pie. There's really no bad pie, but you just kind of have to pick your couple favorites.
I don't know, man. Mincemeat's pretty gross.
No, I really want some pie. Thanks a lot, jackass.
Coconut
rhubarb.
Cream.
Oh, coconut cream. Rhubarb. What the rhubarb hell?
Rhubarb is fantastic.
Yeah, rhubarb's fantastic. Strawberry rhubarb, that's a great pie.
No, coconut cream. Go back to that, because that was getting me interested. And then you rhubarbed it up. So
well, he's from the South. I think that's all they eat.
It is. My grandma used to make it all the time. All the time.
Pecan.
Pecan pie. All right, anything?
Pecan pie.
Did I say it wrong? I don't know what the rules are there in Georgia. All right, Sean, anything you want to say in parting about the Civil War?
It's a great film, and it could really tie a lot of the parts together. So it's interesting to see what they do next.
Yeah, I got a feeling you have to see it in order to watch any other Marvel movie. So,
all right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for coming by, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, take care. Thanks again, Sean. And now we're going to start the spoilery section. So now we get into all the stuff we wanted to talk about, but we couldn't talk about because there's rules, and we don't want to make somebody that hasn't seen the movie all sad and have to cry a lot. But before we do that, how about a clip from Captain America, Civil War, or Avengers 2.5, however you take it.
Tony, someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are if we're not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not SHIELD. It's not HYDRA.
No, but it's run by people with agendas, and agendas change.
That's good. That's why I'm here. When I realized what my weapons were capable of in the wrong hands, I shut it down, stopped manufacturing.
Tony, you chose to do that. If we sign this, we surrender our right to choose. What if this panel sends us somewhere we don't think we should go? What if there's somewhere we need to go and they don't let us? We may not be perfect, but the safest hands are still our own.
If we don't do this now, it's going to be done to us later.
Drama! So much drama. So much drama. Okay, so what do you guys think? Before we get into the actual spoiler-free stuff, I do got to ask you, there has been a bunch of people moaning and bitching that Disney must be paying critics because all their movies are getting such rave reviews. Let's ignore the fact that people seem to love them. Let's just assume that they're paying critics. What do you think about this? Is this ridiculous?
100% ridiculous. I actually looked at the petition that you're talking about that they want people to sign.
Yeah, it's on change.org. Please go fill it out if you have nothing better to do with your life.
Which, by the way, it has like 500 signatures. I mean,
oof, blowing the doors off, huh?
100. So like, it's not going to go anywhere. But just the fact that they think, like, where's the evidence? Where is just because these movies are getting better reviews than the others, that's proof that they're getting paid off? That doesn't make any sense.
No, man. I've stopped understanding what people are complaining about to this point. It's one of those things where I saw the article. There was originally an article saying that people were upset about this, saying it's not fair or it's not right. They've obviously got to be paying them off, and I'm sure that, you know, there's some indication that maybe Disney is spoiling critics and maybe throwing a few gifts their way, and they consider that bribery to some degree. I get that. I mean, yes, I think Disney probably does do that. It's called promotion. They're trying to, but don't they think that most studios do that? I mean, honestly, I mean, they send out gifts and they're trying to sway the top critics. But when you have hundreds of critics saying the same thing or similar things, that's not what the problem is.
Not only that, but how much do reviews actually affect box office? I mean,
it depends on the movie. This kind of movie, not so much.
It depends on the movie, yes, but I mean, I think the bigger tell for how good these movies are how well they did. I mean, one of the big complaints on here is Batman versus Superman, which it didn't do poorly. It just didn't do it as astronomically as they were hoping it would, and I think that's because people didn't want to go see it a second time. You know, I mean, the movies that do well, like Avengers or any movie that does really well, people love it so much that they want to go back to the theater to see it. Me personally, I enjoyed Batman versus Superman, but I had no desire to go check it out again.
It wasn't as fun.
You know, exactly.
The Marvel makes, or they do a very good job of making these movies fun. Mm-hmm. Therefore, again, the rewatchability is level as high with these movies. You're right. I mean, I really enjoyed Batman versus Superman. Didn't really want to go back and see it, though. It's just maybe a little too heavy. 2.5 hours to sit there and watch a bunch of brooding and and Superman's got something like only 20 lines in the whole movie. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I mean, I agree, Scott. I mean, where's the evidence for this? You just throw something out there. And that's what sucks about the internet is you can, anybody can just throw something out there. You put something ridiculous, throw a cute picture, you got a fancy meme, and then all of a sudden everybody believes that broccoli actually cures cancer.
Does it? Son of a bitch.
It all does. Right. According to the thing I read today, it does. So,
well, if a meme said it, then I
saw
it
on Facebook. It must be true.
This is just one of those things where people just like to be angry and they got to blame something. I like both movies. Is that okay? I like both movies and almost the same. I actually like Civil War just a little bit more, but because they're totally different kind of movies and totally different kind of movies. It's okay to like them both, but critics didn't like Batman versus Superman for reasons that I think we discussed it aplenty. There are justifiable reasons why they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Did it need to be savage the way it was? Probably not. I think they probably held it to a higher standard than it was fair, but you know, that's up to them. But it's not like, did Warner Brothers not pay people? I mean, come on. That's just a silly way to look at it. It's just a matter of the formula seems to click better in Marvel's favor currently, as opposed to DC's.
Studios obviously are paying critics, because how many crappy movies, let's say not even ones that make it to the theater, but let's say the ones like that end up, you know, at the movie store or Walmart.
Like Kindergarten
Target,
Cop 2?
Where you see all these, so-and-so says this movie is the greatest horror movie of all time, and it's some ridiculous, like, sixth or seventh movie in a crappy series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously being done on some level, and I'm fine with that. It's kind of like paying college athletes. You can't tell me that colleges and universities are not doing that these days. It's just they're sneaky about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the movie studios. You want to buy a couple of headlines to, you know, put in some press materials and stuff? Great. Go ahead. I assume it's already being done. So if Disney is doing it, they've just got deeper pockets than apparently anybody else on the planet.
Yeah, and they are showering with gifts. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't think, you know, hey, they don't bribe them. They're legitimate. You know what? They send them stuff. They treat them to interviews. Those interviews might dry up. I get what people are saying, but I also think
I'm totally for sale. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, totally. What's the price? Whatever you got. You know, if you got a couple wristbands, we'll take them. Fitbits. Yeah. I need a Fitbit.
Got an old lanyard sitting around that I could, you know, clip a press badge to in some capacity. Sure, yeah, that'll work.
All about it. All about it.
The thing that bugs me, I think, the most about this story is of all the travesties that are going on in our world, this seems like one that doesn't need a whole lot of energy towards it.
Couldn't agree more, because you know what? Listen to critics that you know and trust, critics that you respect, like the Hollywood Outsider guys. But outside of that, yeah, who gives a rat's ass what they said? Go see the movie you want to see and enjoy it.
Make up your own mind.
It's just silly. All right, let's get to the conflict. Let's talk about the conflict. We've got two conflicts, two sides, basically a prosecution and a defense. One is Captain America's side. One is Tony Stark's side. We're going to basically present both of these arguments. It's spoilers. Spoilers are open now, so if you haven't seen the movie, you're about to find out what everything's about. So I can't do anything now. And then Brian's going to decide which end he's on, and we'll discuss the whole movie as a whole. Scott, what is Captain America's side? What do you want to present to the jury?
All right. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Scott Clark, and it's my pleasure to represent Captain America on this very important case. He and the other Avengers stand here falsely accused of the destruction of several highly populated locations that led to the deaths of thousands of innocent people. This is a very serious accusation. At the conclusion of this case, we will ask that these gifted individuals be held unaccountable for the atrocities inflicted on the human race by outside parties. It is the belief of this council that the Avengers and all those associated with them have merely used their talents to thwart those with ill or selfish intentions. I will attempt to convince you that my clients do not need an authority figure to keep them in check, and the evidence will prove that my clients have nothing but the best intentions for humanity, and any restrictions on their aid to our planet would only keep them from doing what they do best, protecting the greater good. Thank you for your time.
Wow. Well, this is Aaron Mad Dog Peterson, and I am representing Tony Stark. He was going to be here, but he's drunk. Unfortunately, they don't show him drinking in these movies anymore, but he's drunk a lot. Basically, here's our plight. Tony Stark, my client Tony Stark, has led to thousands of dead people. The last two, I want to say conflicts, but they're really movies. You know, the last two movies he's been a part of, he's basically set things up so a lot of innocent people die. He's feeling really, really bad about it. So what he wants to do is he wants to regulate people. Now, Thaddeus Ross comes to him and says, you know what? We need to put markers on these people. We got to know who these people are. If you're going to be part of the Avengers, you're going to be in lockdown. You're only going to go where you need to go when we say you need to get there. And I understand that because I killed one innocent little kid and his mom was really mad at me. That's what Tony feels. That's what the reasoning for all this is. And then, snap, we're going to find out that Winter Soldier, the guy that your client is protecting, killed my mama? Oh, no, hell no. Hell no. That's also what Tony felt. I'm living vicariously through him at this point. It's just a sad, sad thing. It's very bad. We need to put these Avengers in check. They are getting a lot of people killed, and we're not going to stand for it. My client would really like to lock these bitches down. I rest. And now it's time for a drink. It's not as good as yours, Scott, but it's the best I can do on short notice. So, Brian, after you see the movie, after you've heard the arguments, the debates between these two, Captain America and Iron Man, I should have given myself Silver Man or something lame like that. Silver Surfer, that's what I should have called myself. Where do you land? How do you feel? What's your verdict?
Well, I've taken both of your opening statements / closing arguments at the to heart. I've listened with open ears and with no preconceived notions. I wanted to take both opinions and weigh them. While you both make some very good cases, you unfortunately both rely heavily on emotion and intentions. So the main point that stood out to me the most was yours, Aaron, Team Cap,
killing my mom, right? Killing my mom. You know what? You tell your client for his little bitch friend. Hey, that's what I'm telling you right now. I'm going to take his arm. I'm going to rip it right off. Sorry.
Order.
Sorry.
Order.
What's a you?
Order.
Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, no, the point that you made was the one about the previous conflict and stuff. He basically, even though he had good intentions, and this is kind of working against you, Scott, even though he had good intentions, he created a artificial intelligence that was hell-bent on dominating the world. So, yeah, I got to vote against Team Iron Man, and Team Cap takes the win here.
I think you were on my side, and then you split to the other side. What the hell is this, man? What kind of shit is going on in this courtroom, man?
You know, I was Team Cap, right?
Yeah. I don't even think Brian was listening. I think he just changed his decision right there. He's just like, you know what? Screw him.
I was scribbling notes. Sorry. The jury was out. They're in filibuster.
I got you. Now, in the real world, the really real world, we got where Brian lands, I think. Scott, where did you land on this whole debate?
I feel like my choice is the unpopular choice, but I'm actually on Iron Man's side. I am of the mind that rules aren't a bad thing, as long as they're in the hands of – that's the tricky part, is if they're in the hands of good people or people that have the best intentions. Mm-hmm. I mean, special powers or no, the Avengers are still technically American citizens, yes?
I think so. I don't know about Black Widow.
Black Widow, Vision, man. Probably not.
Vision's not even a citizen.
Yeah. Thor, no.
Well – of them are citizens, let's say.
Scarlet Witch, no.
Oh, hey, good call.
So really the answer is no, not really. No, just Captain America.
But I mean, no. There's still rules for entering and leaving countries. That was kind of part of the debate in the movie as to...
Does it count if they fly themselves? You want to build a wall? You make the Avengers pay for it?
Tony Stark can apparently...
He can fly over it.
Oh, that's true. You'd have to build it really high. Okay, I'm sorry. We'll stop cutting you off. Go ahead, finish.
No, that's basically it. I just think that, you can't just walk into somebody's country. I mean, I don't mean that from the direction that Brandon was alluding to. But you got to come in legally. You got to come in and let them know you're there and this kind of thing. It's somebody's got to be in charge, and S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Avengers, you know, feel like that they're big enough that they can do. And I think Rhodey said it himself, like, you know, that's, it's pretty arrogant to think that you shouldn't be a part of something, or that you're the end all be all. You're the end of the line.
Okay, I'm on Cap's side. Cap, baby, all the way. And I'm with you, Scott, in the rules thing. I do think the world needs rules, but I don't consider these to be normal people, and I don't think they should be governed by normal people, because normal people are infallible, and they don't have – like, what are they going to do to control them? I mean, they're going to – hey, what? So are heroes. Well, I get it.
No, they're fallible.
Fallible. Right? Okay, they're fallible. They're not – heroes are not infallible. Or heroes are – you know what? They can – people make stupid mistakes. Heroes are awesome. That's really what I'm trying to say. Better?
The normal humans who dictate legislature and all this, all these rules and everything, cannot relate in any capacity to these superpowered and metahumans. So
there you go. How
can you set the rules for something that you don't know anything about?
Exactly. And plus, I think it's a governmental way, or a bureaucratic way, to control people with abilities that can bend things to your will. And it's just a bad idea. I think heroes, if they're truly heroes, if we believe them to be heroes, they should be free to be heroic and help those who need help. It shouldn't be up to a board or a committee to tell them how to do that. That's how I feel. And I also felt like by the end of the movie, I really wanted, because I felt like it was a little Brokeback Mountain action going on. I really think Tony and Cap need to just do it and get it over with, because there's so many longing looks and sexual tension between these two. I think if they just would hit the sheets for an hour or two, imagine how fantastic that could be. I think everything would be resolved.
Makeup, like, sex?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would help.
Yeah, I mean, it just about made Top Gun look like Titanic.
Exactly. You know, it's, right?
It's yeah.
I'll never let go, Goose.
Never let go, Tony. I'm so sorry. And the way he keeps holding on to Bucky. I mean, obviously there's some tendencies. There's some overtones. I'm sorry if that puts some people off, but it is what it is. I don't make the rules. I just do them. And I also got to point out, this is the second movie, and I wasn't kidding when I said that in the statement. This is the second movie in a row where the biggest part of the conflict is Tony Stark's fault. So when does it become he is not so much a hero anymore?
What do you mean it was his fault?
Ultron was his fault.
Well, yeah, Ultron was his fault.
Ultron was totally his fault. Okay, and this started because he felt bad about what happened with Ultron. That led him down a path toward, let's lock everybody up and make him sign this, even though they weren't on board. And he was fine with backing Ross. So, I mean, that's two movies in a row where he's a big factor of what the issues are.
Yeah, he just needs to just go back to inventing and quit the higher level, highbrow concept ways of thinking, because he's not good at it.
I agree.
I think he creates too many problems.
I think there comes a time, you know, some people who are brilliant and overly confident, leaders, if you were, are not necessarily good leaders. They're not good at leading a team, where Captain America is a team leader. I think Tony Stark is an innovator, and I think he's shown that he can't handle running the company. So what makes people think he should be running the Avengers? I mean, in two movies in a row, I think he should have nothing to do with it.
I don't think he wanted to be in charge, though, did he?
Well, he's kind of leading the charge.
Yeah, and he's the ultra egomaniac, so of course he's going to want to be in charge. Mm-hmm. He's dictating it. Besides, he pulled the strings in the background to get Thunderbolt Ross to pitch the rest of the team.
Yep.
About, he's, you know, he basically called a meeting where half of them are in the dark going, what's this all about? And he's sitting in the back, not saying anything, because he knows that, oh, I might have just pooped in my Easter basket with this move. But he pulled all these strings, made all these people line up and say, listen to this guy pitch us on why we should sign up and register for this accord.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, and I know it's a hypothetical, so it's impossible to know for sure, but do you think that if the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all these heroes were under the accords before all these incidents took place, do you think that they could have been handled differently and lives could have been saved?
I think more lives would have been lost, because you'd be waiting for people to approve this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Sokovia would be, we'd be eliminated. There'd be no people.
Right.
If it went through.
There would be no discussion. Ultron would be, it would look like the Matrix with all the freaking Ultrons around.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I agree with, yep. Face of Scott, you just picked the wrong side.
Just real quick, what, there's not even much of a discussion on Team Cap or Team Iron Man, because by the end of the movie, Stark has come over to Cap's side for the most part anyway, right?
I think so. He's still not a, well, I don't know, man, because then he found out about Mommy and Daddy. And I guess we should go to that.
But I mean,
so,
like at the very end when he, didn't he kind of, I don't know, maybe you kind of implied or something that well, Cap was right.
He implied it. I don't know if he necessarily believes it to a degree, because I still think that revelation is going to keep ripping him apart for a while about Bucky and the Winter Soldier killing his mom and dad. Scott, let's jump into that. What do you think about that revelation? And I do want to point out, because some people were like, well, that came out of nowhere. They did allude to it in Winter Soldier. There's actually a clipping that...
Really?
Yeah, there's actually a clipping where it talks about, where it shows that they died in a car accident. And that Cap saw it, and Black Widow had all this information that she released at the end of Winter Soldier. So, I mean, yeah, Cap might have known this, so he might have held it. It sounds like he did hold it. What do you think, Scott? What do you think about this revelation?
I really liked it. I was genuinely surprised. I had no idea who was in the car in that scene we kept seeing in there. You know, looking back now, I'm kind of like, why didn't I see that coming? Especially with the foreshadowing of Tony's little like reenactment with his family, but man, when that moment hit, I had this whole like, oh, senor, it's on moment in my head. It's just that look on Tony's face when he realized what happened is just insane. And just everything just got jumped to 11, like immediately. That was such an awesome, I don't want to say pivotal moment, because they were already at odds with each other, obviously. But that just kind of like broke this camel's back in Tony's mind. And I don't want to say that he doesn't wear his heart on his sleeve, because he does. But I feel like this is one of the first times where he acted on impulse with his emotions.
Right.
And that was really kind of cool to see, especially when it was someone that was supposed to be his friend. I thoroughly enjoyed that moment. I've not read the comics, so I had no idea it was coming. It was a really cool surprise for me.
I don't think it's part of the comics. I might be wrong, but I don't. Brian, do you know?
I'm not that familiar with them, so I'm not sure either. So
where do you guys stand in, like, if... Knowing that he killed Tony's parents, do you think he deserves redemption now? Because, I mean, it wasn't technically his fault, but he still did the killing.
I don't think he needs any kind of redemption from that. If anything, you have a scene where Tony approaches him, and maybe you have a tense moment, like what's going to happen? You know, whatever he does with a new arm, if he finally gets a new arm, whatever. And, you know, he starts gearing up for a fight, and Tony just kind of kicks back the shell head mask and says, you know, hey, we're good. We're good.
Okay.
So something like that.
I guess I'm kind of on the same boat. The one thing I will say, that the whole thing, it was a cool revelation. It led to a great fight. That fight between the three of them was fantastic. I loved it. And seeing Cap realize he could kill him. He could, and he did win. Like, people were saying nobody won, like in Batman vs. Superman, nobody really won. No, Cap won.
Totally Cap won.
He totally won.
Yeah.
Which was great, because all that technology doesn't beat heart, some bitch. Heart takes it all the way. But the one thing I thought was hysterical was I'm watching when the revelation's coming up and they're showing the security footage, and we're getting all kinds of great camera angles almost like inside the car. And I'm like, this is a pretty fantastic camera. At this point, it's getting to the point where, okay, did you have a cameraman on site shooting the accident? Is that what happened? Because it's getting a little stupid.
Did a camera slink down from the light post and look inside this car?
Right. Was Mr. Stark punked? Is that what happened here? Is Ashton Kutcher behind that? It's just a little ridiculous.
Ashton just comes out. Ha! Get ya! Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of the new / reinvented characters. The first one is Black Panther. Brian, what'd you think of Black Panther, Mr. Wakanda?
I was really impressed with him. He exudes the royalty, the loyalty that he has towards his family and his country. There's just issues going on. I'm going to take care of this, but my main focus is my family and my countrymen. So I really liked him a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing him in upcoming movies, especially the way they've his athleticism with the way they were fighting. This is probably one of the movie as a whole. The fight scenes in this was probably some of the most comic book esque fight scenes I've seen yet. Yeah. Especially the way from everything, the way that like I was talking about Black Widow earlier. She was fantastic. Captain America bouncing around and throwing the shield in ways that you really only saw in the comics. It's they've really amped up everything, and Black Panther was a huge part of that. So
the claws, man.
Yeah.
The claws. Does he have a superpower?
He's awesome. That's a superpower. Boom.
It's for the most part, think Captain America, but from Africa.
Okay.
He's actually like a combination of Tony Stark and Captain America because he's filthy rich and very, very smart, but he has Captain America's heart and loyalty and athleticism.
Smarts.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that suit protects a lot, which is why he wears a full body suit because they're bulletproof, like you saw, and a lot of other things. I think that's really it's just like Tony. It's a suit. Just doesn't fly yet.
Not yet. Is that a thing?
I don't know. Probably. Sure.
What about you, Aaron? Your favorite hero of like all time was in this movie.
Spider-Man. Does whatever Tom Holland can, because that kid can actually do all his flips. If you ever see him on YouTube. So I love Spider-Man. Favorite comic book hero, whole wide world. Loved him my entire life. My son adores him too. So I've passed that on to generations. My daughter loves the movies. She didn't really get into comic books. So it's a character I love. The first two Spider-Man movies, fantastic. People can kiss my ass. Love those movies. I love revisionist history where they go back and they're like, man, they weren't so good. No, they were fantastic. Shut up. Now, everybody just needs to settle down, though. Because all I've heard are people saying, well, this guy, Tom Holland, best Spidey ever. You've had two previous incarnations of Spider-Man and Peter Parker in the past 10 years, right? Roughly. And Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. I personally feel Tobey Maguire was a great Peter Parker, just an okay Spider-Man. I thought Andrew Garfield was a poor Peter Parker. He's just too cool for Peter Parker, but a really great Spider-Man. But this idea that Tom Holland in like 10 to 15 minutes is the best ever just irritates me. It's just hyperbolic crap. The guy was good. He was very good. And he's damn good, but I need a whole movie first. In terms of the snippets that he has, a very, 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 very supporting character role that he has, yes, he was great. A lot of people are great in small doses. Hawkeye was great. If you gave Hawkeye a movie, Hawkeye would suck. Nobody wants to see a full Hawkeye movie. So I'm just saying, let him have his first full movie. Then I'll see where I am on him. Right now, I just really liked him, but he's not taken Tobey Maguire's place for me. He's just not. He's not there yet. Maybe in the next movie he will, but not yet.
Let me ask you a question, because I actually just thought of this. And do you guys remember, we had a couple Punisher movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm talking way before the Daredevil, where he was on the Daredevil TV series. But we had either, was it just one Punisher or there two Punisher
movies?
There's
two. Thomas Jane and who was the other one? Warzone. I can't remember the actor, but there's two of them, Warzone and the regular Punisher. Yep.
But then wasn't there like this short film that somebody made?
That was Thomas Jane. That was from the first Punisher.
It was Thomas Jane again. Okay, so that's not going to help my argument then at all.
Middle Punisher, because Dolph Lundgren was the first Punisher. Yeah.
Right. But it was Thomas Jane that was in that tiny little short one as well?
Mm-hmm. Dirty Laundry, yep.
But wasn't he better in that one than he was in the first one, in the actual movie itself?
Yeah, because it was shorter and it was grittier, and the movie wasn't very good. He was always good as the Punisher. It was the movie that wasn't very good.
Okay. I was not realizing it was the same actor, so that kind of puts holes in my whole argument.
It was a great theory, Scott. It was a great theory.
I wasn't even going to like really argue it. I was just going to say, because I remember thinking that short clip was so much better, and you could almost equate that to this being a short clip of Spider-Man. I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you and say that it's the best ever, because we don't have enough time, but it's hard to ignore the fact that he kind of did the best of both worlds in terms of Tobey Maguire and James Garfield. Like Andrew Garfield. You know, he played the good Peter Parker, which I think Tobey Maguire did really, really well. And he played the good Spider-Man, which Garfield did really well. Mm-hmm. And they were all kind of meshed together. So, I mean, isn't it fair to say that that was better than either of them?
No, not to me it wasn't. I think he has the potential to be a great Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Currently, I only got like 10 minutes of the kid. So it's hard for me to say, yes, you're the best of anything. I think in this culture, as soon as something comes out and it's new and it's fresh, got that new car smell, everybody, man, that was great. That's the best ever. Just like this movie. I've already seen, this is the best superhero movie ever. Really? The best superhero movie ever? No, it's not. It's just not. And I just, at least to me, I mean, if that is your true opinion, so be it. But I just think people need to step back, give history a chance to set in before you start throwing revelations like best ever. I liked him. I really liked what he brought, but I loved Tobey Maguire. That first movie is perfect to me. I think it's fantastic. Now, could he have been a little more quippy? Yes, but the one thing that Tobey Maguire did in his movie that I did not get from Tom Holland is I felt his heart. When he was around Mary Jane, I felt his love for Mary Jane. I felt his best friend being his best friend and feeling that compassion for him. I felt how sad he was for taking out his best friend's dad. Even though he was the Green Goblin, he felt horrible about it. And then him living with the pain of Uncle Ben, I felt that. As much fun as Tom Holland was as Spider-Man, I didn't feel any of that. And that, to me, is what makes Toby a great Spider-Man.
But do you really want another origin story?
No, that has nothing to do with an origin story. It just has to do with the heart. The heart that Toby had, I don't feel it yet from this kid. And it's mostly because he probably didn't have the screen time to do it. He's just mostly, he's fun. And he's nerdy. Okay, I'm sure he will be a great Spider-Man. We'll see. But as of right now, he's not taking Maguire off my list from just this performance at all.
Well, I'm not as passionate about it as you are. He's on track to pass him. I agree with you. It's a really hard case to make when you're talking, again, what, 15 minutes of screen time, something like that, versus what, 6 hours, 7 hours or so worth. So between the three movies,
right?
Or another 5 to 6 hours for the Garfield versions. So yeah, you're right. It's a very, very small sample size, but it is a very impressive sample size. And I'm ready to say, for me personally, I'm ready to call him better than Tobey Maguire. But
you didn't like those movies.
Okay. So what is it? I mean,
all right, fair enough.
Maybe he's part of the reason I don't like it.
Maybe it's very possible.
So, and at the time I enjoyed them, and I actually liked the third one a lot more than a lot of people do. There's a lot wrong with it. I'm not saying that, but I think it gets a lot more hate than it really deserves, except for that stupid dance number scene, which
it's awful.
Is painful. Terrible.
Awful.
On so many levels. It's bad.
Awful.
But I thought these scenes in Civil War, he really embodied Spider-Man, and he's almost like Deadpool in the sense that his mouth is another weapon.
That's true. He's a motor mouth. Yep.
To where he's always talking. He's always trying to, it's almost it's almost like another weapon where he's trying to throw off his opponent and keep them distracted. And while they're thinking about what he's talking about and getting flustered with him, you know, he's doing something else to stop him. So that, to me, was really cool, and it felt like Spider-Man. So,
okay, can we before we move on talk about how hot Aunt May was? Because yeah, that's not in the comic books, son. And I was actually okay with that change. I'm like, you know what? I've had Rosemary Harris. I've had enough little old ladies to last me a lifetime, and Marissa Tomei is really just gorgeous.
Doesn't that just like mess with your childhood a little bit, though?
No, it made it better. I want to go back and reread those comic books with a whole different approach.
Ooh.
Just a whole different approach. I just want to wait for her to get white hair. I think that'll be great. All right, that's a lot of Spider-Man. How about Zemo? This guy, this bad guy, the villain, the main villain, played by, is it Daniel Bruges? I think is his name. He was in
Brule. In Bruges. You. In Bruges was in Bruges.
Well, we saw, what did we see him in that race car movie? Was it Rush? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Rush. Yeah, with Chris Hemsworth.
So, yeah, he was in a movie with Thor. Zemo was in a movie with Thor. Scotty, what do you think about Zemo?
Well, again, like the other characters, I went into this not knowing anything about the character Zemo, but man, I love the intensity of the actor. His character just like wasn't messing around at all when it came to his plan, and his purpose, you know, or reason for creating this conflict kind of made sense in a comic book film. He wants that revenge, but knew he didn't have the capability to make it happen himself. So he went to these great lengths to make it happen through those who did or who had the ability. And kind of, you know, going back to like the Joker aspect, watch the world burn, but not just watch the world burn, actually get revenge on those that did these things to him. And it was a really interesting aspect that I never would have considered. And I thought it worked out really well.
Anybody else notices the exact same plan Lex Luthor had in Batman versus Superman?
I didn't until you just said it, but yeah.
Am I wrong? It's like the same plan, right?
It's the same plan, but for different intentions.
Different reasons, yeah, but it's the same plan. Let's turn them against each other. Watch the world burn, that whole thing. Yeah. Brian, did you like Zemo? Or Xena, whatever the hell his name is?
What does he have in common with Thor, Iron Man, and the Black Panther?
He's got an accent? No, they don't have this.
They all have the same motivation where they're pissed off about their some family member dying.
Okay.
Which is a very common thread that I'm really burned out with these movies. Because those are just like three I just came up with in the last 15-20 seconds trying to figure out, you know, because it was just a coincidence that hit me that this is a motivation for a lot of these characters. And it's getting tired at this point for me. I just want something different, I guess.
Yeah, I'm totally with Brian, Scott, not to side against you, but you're wrong. No, I just like thought, the first thing I thought walking out was, man, Marvel villains still suck. Marvel villains always suck. It's just, and I don't think he's awful. I think the actor does fine. I mean, he's doing the best he can. It's just a ridiculous plan that everything has to work absolutely perfect or none of the stuff works. And these kind of diabolical plans from a guy who's just hurting, he's wounded, just burn me out. I'm like Brian, it just burns me out. It's just, there's nothing to me that was really deep or terrifying about it. I mean, thankfully they had the conflict between Iron Man and Captain America to keep me invested.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. I don't think the villain has to be that deep in this movie because that's not the focal point of what's going on, really.
Well, I need a good just like with Batman vs. Superman and Lex Luthor's plan. I had a problem with his, too, because it's just like, I think even his, which some people said didn't make sense, made more sense than this one. It's just, you're mad, and I get it. You lost some people, and you're hurting. So you're going to turn the world's heroes against each other in this extremely intricate plan that everything has to flow and hit every nail perfect for it to work. And don't get me wrong, I still enjoyed the movie because I know it's a comic book movie and I can accept a few things. But
so you didn't like Ocean's 11 either?
Oh man, I just said, because I know it's that kind of movie where I just accept some things and move on. I can still be entertained by it. Doesn't mean I loved him as a villain though.
With Ocean's 11, you see them planning it out and then they pretty much had an explanation for everything.
Yeah.
This kind of, you have to, there's a lot of relying on people's reactions.
Sure.
Them reacting in a way that you're banking on. If Tony and Captain America had a discussion instead of blowing up at each other, it's just game over for Zemo.
It's about on.
So there's so many things that were just dependent on how well he may have known how these people would react that there's a lot of possible flaws in this plan. So
exactly. That's really my problem with it. Just, it has to be too perfect. Too perfect. All right, we got one more clip from Captain America, Civil War.
Guess I should have knocked.
Oh, my God. What are you doing here?
Disappointing my kids. I'm supposed to go water skiing. Cap needs our help. Come on.
Clint! You should not be here.
Really? I retire for what, like 5 minutes and it all goes?
Please consider the consequences of your actions.
Okay, they're considered. Okay, we gotta go.
Okay. Oof. I like Hawkeye in these last couple of movies, by the way. Like, he was never a character I cared much about, but he's gotten a lot better, although I didn't love him in Avengers 2, but he was kind of fun.
He can die.
Okay. Or he can die. Either one.
I don't think he means he wants him to. He's just that he wouldn't be too upset.
I just don't think Jeremy Renner is a good actor anymore. I don't know if I ever really thought he was a good actor, but I gave him a certain amount of credibility just because he's been one of those headliners for a few years and stuff now. And he's been one of those guys that does, he's got a certain amount of appeal, but I just don't like what they've done with the Hawkeye's character over the course of the whole run. I do like what they've done lately, and he is better in small doses when he can be a little witty or something. But for the most part, I just think he's not much. He just does. I just don't think he adds a whole lot.
I'm with you. You know, at some point, I think they're going to kill him as a motivation for somebody, I think, or for they'll spin him off into a Black Widow movie, something like that. So overall, let's start with you, Brian. What was your favorite scene from the movie? What was your favorite scene?
All of them.
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, Justin.
No. For the most part, the one that just really kept coming back to was, and there's some that may be even better, but the one I just kept coming back to was when Ant-Man was meeting Captain America for the first time and the rest of the group. There was it was almost like if it was one of us fans that was meeting him, mm-hmm. and seeing them for the first time. So it was awkward and funny, which I love awkwardness. So and Paul Rudd does that fantastic. So
he does.
And how he would turn around, he turned around to Scar. Oh, hey, I know you too. You know?
I love him as a supporting character, by the way. I know I said I had issues with Ant-Man. I didn't think it was as great as some people thought. But as a supporting actor, I thought he was great. He's great comedy relief.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, what was your favorite scene?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Ant-Man, because I think the part where I kind of just went, this is really happening in a movie, was at the airport scene. when we get giant Ant-Man, I'm like, is this really happening? Mm-hmm. It was so much fun, and seeing him huge and still having the funny dialogue that he does as the character, even though he's huge. It was just a ton of fun. I just love that scene so much.
Yeah, that was good. And airport scene, the entire airport scene is my favorite scene. And when I was talking earlier in the spoiler free portion about what I think is maybe one of the greatest fights in comic book film history, that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is like a wet dream. And I kind of thought this scene just trumped the Avengers scene at the end, you know, where everybody got their moments and you had the Hulk and versus Thor and all that.
That's an act of the movie. That's not, you called me Justin on that. That's okay. You just pulled a Justin. That's right. A third of the movie is that whole scene, or as you, well, yeah. And I'm using rabbit ears again,
the airport scene or the Avengers scene,
the airport scene.
All right, fine. Let me pick one. Spider-Man's fight. Inside the terminal, Spider-Man's.
Dude, you got a metal arm? That's awesome.
Yes, there you go. That one. I thought that was my favorite part, just because that's a moment where I'm like, all right, you got the quips right. That's something that I really wanted them to nail. That was my biggest thing, because I wasn't worried so much about Peter Parker, and they nailed it. And for me, that was an inner geek squee moment where I'm like, you got it. So I can't wait for the movie so I can maybe supplant Tobey Maguire. That was my moment. Favorite line, Scotty? Although it's still the whole airport scene is fantastic, but whatever.
It really is. My favorite line is, it's the one that they plastered all over the trailers and everything, but it still just resonated even when I saw the movie, and it was the exchange between Tony and Cap. You know, he's my friend. And Tony says, so was I. It's just amazing how gut-wrenching that line is, even though I know it's coming. It's not, so am I, it's so was I.
Mm.
And just that one little word change right there that changes so much meaning to that was just so powerful. And the look on Tony's face, he's hurt. And you don't see a whole lot of hurt from him out the physical pain that he goes through. So I love that line.
That was a good one, man. That's good. And that whole fight, we didn't talk enough about that, but that fight scene at the end with those three, and then ultimately with Cap and Iron Man was just great. Just great. Because you kind of wanted them both to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was real visceral. Just all like bare knuckle, just, all right, just Somebody's not walking out of here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. Doesn't he need that light in his chest to survive, or is that no longer a deal?
I thought that got fixed. Or
yeah, he fixed that a couple of movies ago.
I can't.
Not sure which one. But he did. He made some alterations, and he's okay without it.
Okay. Because part of me, when I'm watching the shield going, I'm like, well, don't do that, because then he'll die. Kill Iron Man. That would suck.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was kind of.
What is this? Is this a Zack Snyder Civil War? What the hell's going on?
No, it's not that I want Tony Stark dead, but I get so tired of the comic book movie where you think somebody's gonna die. I mean, he got stabbed in the chest with that giant shield.
Rhodey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rhodey did get seriously injured though, so at least there's something. You know, as opposed to, whew, man, I thought I was dead, but I'm good. Guys, just took me a little bit for the pulse to kick back up. I
put some Windex on it. I'm fine.
Such idiots. What about you, Brian? What was your favorite line?
It was Ant-Man when he was inside Tony Stark's suit, where something along the lines of, this is your conscience. I know we don't talk much or something to that effect.
Yeah. We haven't talked in a while.
That was great.
God, that was brilliant. Good call. Mine was Queens. Seriously, just one word, Queens. When Spider-Man is basically talking to Captain America after he's got heart kid or whatever. He's like, where are you from? Queens. And just the look on his face. And I mean, just that exchange between those two, because they both have that heart. It's not an exchange you actually see, Brian, because one of them's got a mask on.
No, it was Captain America said he's got heart. You said this Spider-Man didn't have heart.
It's not. I didn't feel it from the kid. I felt it from Captain America. You said Captain America.
I'm just quoting. Captain America said he's got heart. That should be good enough for you.
Shut up.
Yeah, hey, Troy, roll that tape. Can we hear that back again?
You silly bitch. This is what's wrong with America. Right here. Right here. All right. Well, that was my favorite line. I love that exchange. I love that. Now, a lot of people are comparing this to Batman versus Superman, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I guess the question is it fair? And I guess what I want to say to that is a lot of people are saying it's not fair to compare the two totally and tonally different films, and it's one of those things where I think fans love to pit Marvel versus DC. I personally think absolutely you can compare the two, as long as you compare them fairly. I think they're going for different kinds of movies. But the fact that it is your big heroes going against each other on both of these films, and they ultimately come together to go against a threat, you can compare them. I think it's fair to compare them. And some people like Civil War better. Some people like Batman versus Superman better. And it's a fair comparison. It seems to be Civil War is leaning towards Civil War. But it's also the movie that just came out, too. I'm a big fan of Let History Speak. So, Brian, what about you? Do you think it's fair to compare the two?
Does anybody compare The Dark Knight to Iron Man? Green Lantern to Deadpool? Superman to the X-Men? No.
No.
So why would you compare these two?
This is a little bit more specific comparisons, though. You've got two good guys that should be fighting together that are fighting against each other.
I mean, I agree with you. The fact, okay, we've got two good what we take as two heroes fighting against each other versus this other movie with you've got a team of heroes fighting against each other. But they're still not even remotely. That's about as common of a thread other than the fact that we call them comic book movies. Mm-hmm. To me, they're completely different movies. Why not compare this X-Men movie to that's coming up, because it's still got some of the same tones as these other two. Why not compare this X-Men movie to Batman versus Superman?
Well, because one's called Versus and the other one is Civil War. I mean, they're both about the two main heroes going up against each other. That's what they're both about. It's fair. I think it's fair.
I will say that I don't think that they tried to do the same thing tonally.
Not at all. No.
They both were vastly different in that aspect. I don't think that either movie were trying to do the same thing that the other was.
Well, except they both have the same evil villain master plot. Just saying.
But I don't know if that was, I mean, again, not on the source material. Is that what happened in the comics? I mean,
I don't know. Who cares? The movie's what matters to me. And that's where we're at with these movies. And what's on screen, they're very similar.
Yeah, in the comics, Baron Zemo, he's a baron, and he wears this pink skull cap looking mask over his face. He looks like the kid from Fat Albert that grew up and
with Old Bikini.
Old Bikini, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous looking. So I'm glad they changed that aspect about him. But other than what, and I don't even know what his quote unquote powers were, but I do, it does look like they are setting Zemo up for something bigger down the road. I'm leaving his door open, so to speak. So I don't want to hate on him too much, but yeah, as far as his motivation and stuff, I don't know what his motivations were in the books.
I don't either. And I'm sure somebody, one of our devoted listeners will, I'm sure, let us know. They'll probably Wikipedia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We could Wikipedia it. We don't wanna. All right. So that's enough of that comparison, because we all, except for Scott, he didn't like Batman, but Brian and I both like both movies, and
yeah,
I liked them pretty close to equal. So
mm-hmm.
Just the comparison, a lot of people are making it. The one thing I don't like is when people are, well, you know, told you Captain America, that's why Batman versus Superman failed. And I'm just like, well, it failed to you. Worked good to me. So that comparison doesn't do anything to me. It just makes me go, well, that's wrong, because I liked it. So it didn't fail. I don't understand that argument. Okay, so what didn't work for you? Civil War. Something had to not work, Brian. What didn't work? What didn't gel?
Well, for me, it was, and I'll just be real quick with this. It was Zemo for the most part. He just didn't feel villainous enough. He just one of those things to where he would kind of pop back into the scene. I love Daniel Brühl as the actor, and I'm a big fan of his. I think he's got a very good career ahead of him. I just don't think he was written very well. And then at the end of the movie, just kind of sitting there, okay, well, they took my family. This didn't quite work out. I almost got away with it, so I'm just going to shoot myself. That was dumb.
Yeah, that part was kind of dumb. All right.
I agree. Like I said just a minute ago, I think they've got bigger plans for him. So I'm anxious to see what they're going to do with him there. But so otherwise, it just didn't work for me too well. They might as well just, just keep him out of it and had a bigger, expanded the Civil War storyline that from the book comic books, made that a little bit deeper. But oh well.
What are you going to do?
It was good.
Anything else you didn't like?
No.
Okay. Scotty, what about you?
Well, outside of the pace and the shaky cam I already mentioned in my short review at the beginning of this episode, one thing that kind of bugged me is Spider-Man as a character standing next to all the other Avengers, at least in my theater. I didn't see it in IMAX or 3D or anything. I just had the standard viewing. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man just looked CG. Obviously he is. He has to be. You can't have a guy swinging around like that in a movie like this. But there's just something about the animation that just made it look very CG, and it bugged me a little bit.
Yeah, I know you told me about that, so I was watching it. I didn't have that problem.
Did you see it in standard?
I didn't see it in 3D. Yeah, I didn't see it in 3D or IMAX. So I did see it in standard, but I didn't have that problem at all. I thought it was great, actually, and I love that they have the animated eyes. I'm sure that's Tony Stark tech, but whatever. It looks great.
Underoos.
Anything else you didn't like?
No, that's pretty much it. I love this movie a lot.
All right, well, I got a couple of things. The one, I am really bummed that it's Avengers 3, and people don't argue with me. It's Avengers 3, whether you want to admit it or not. I wanted a solo Cap final movie. I wanted, you know, some people are saying, well, this is like this trilogy is almost as good as Dark Knight. Well, it's not really a trilogy, because the third movie is really just a connection, an extension of Avengers 2 is really what a big part of it is. To me, it's just not a Cap 3 movie. I think there's too much Tony Stark. I'm getting a little burned out on Tony. I don't want Tony in my Spider-Man movie. Now he's going to be in my Spider-Man movie. I'm glad you built this dynasty, but can you let the other players play? You know what I'm saying? And he's one hero who, for me, Spider-Man is the one hero that doesn't need the street cred. He doesn't need the bump. So stay out of my movie, but he's going to be there anyway. So too much Tony Stark. I know I'm the only one that has that problem, but
I agree with you. If you're going to have a Spider-Man movie, have a Spider-Man movie. Don't have another Robert Downey Jr. love fest.
Mm-hmm.
But in fairness, he did he, in the movie, in this movie, he is the one that reached out to Peter Parker. So
he did.
He also had in the little stinger at the end of it, he does have the bat signal, whatever it is he's got on his wrist with the high tech spider signal deal. So, okay. He's obviously having some sort of relationship with him. So I can
think
see
that's
him.
A hint at Venom down the road, but that's beside the point.
So I think he's relevant to be in the Spider-Man movie. I just hope he's not a major ingredient in that movie.
I hope so. I do want to mention he's got 36 hours to hunt Cap down. He's got time to go to Queens, have a little sexy time with Peter's aunt, convince this teenage boy to join him. I mean, the timing of that was a little poor. I thought that was a little odd.
I thought that was bad parenting to let this strange man go into his bedroom and close the door and lock it. I think he might have even locked it. I don't know, but it just that was weird.
Yeah, but thankfully she's hot, so we forgave a lot. The first hour took a while to get going. The fights in the first hour I didn't think were shot well. And my biggest pet peeve, which I alluded to at the beginning, is I really, and this is why I think it suffers, because it's a joint movie. It's a co-star movie. It's Captain America and Tony Stark. It's not a Captain America movie, because we didn't get a goodbye scene with Peggy Carter. Now, for me, I think a big portion of that is because they wanted to set up the romance with Sharon Carter, and they can't really do that if you see Peggy too, because then you're like, wow, you're going to kiss her right after you just saw this woman that you love die? So I think they left it out for those reasons, not necessarily the Civil War reasons, but I think because of their relationship, the audience deserved that. And the only argument I've heard from anyone has been, well, man, in the real world, sometimes you don't get there in time. I'm like, this ain't the real world, man. Nothing in this movie is real. They could have given everything in Marvel movies is almost all fan service. So that's what the fan wanted more than anything, was a goodbye scene to Peggy Carter, because in the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, their relationship is my favorite, my absolute favorite. And I was extraordinarily disappointed that I didn't get to see Cap say goodbye to her. Shut up, man. Have a heart. Peggy was an angel.
Had one time. Didn't work out too well.
Speaking of the relationship with the new, what's her first name again?
Sharon.
Sharon Carter.
Mm-hmm.
That scene cracked me up when he kissed her in front of the other two in the car, and then he looks back and
Yeah, the Volkswagen scene was up there on my list.
The little nod, the bro nod.
It was like, yeah. So good.
So good.
And he asked him, like, can you move up the seat? No.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, we've got two things left, and then we're going to wrap her up. How do you feel about needing to see the other movies? Some people feel you need to see the other movies to understand this one. You know, the whole Marvel, it's all connected thing, Scott. Do you like that? Does it bother you? What?
That they're all connected?
Yeah, do you agree that you have to see other movies to get it that aren't Captain America movies?
It's difficult to say, because I don't have that perspective personally. I obviously saw the ones leading up to it. But I will say, I feel like I would have been lost without the history between Cap and Bucky, or some of the other characters too. Not mm-hmm. to mention, going into this movie with no knowledge of characters like Vision or Scarlet Witch or S.H.I.E.L.D. at all would make me very, very confused. So I feel like you kind of got to at least see the first two Cap movies. You don't necessarily have to see Iron Man. I think everyone knows who Iron Man is at this point. He's pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to see the first two.
I think you got to see Avengers 2 also, really. Because, I mean, it explains Vision, explains what happened in Sokovia.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot. Yeah, Vision was explained in Avengers 2, not Cap. Yeah, I'm getting them all mixed up.
And Sokovia. It's called the Sokovia Accords instead of, what is it in the comics, Brian? Superhero Registration Act, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you definitely have to go back and watch a couple of them. But they do a pretty good job of not beating you down with a bunch of unnecessary exposition and stuff. So I do like that about that. They kind of give you a little bit, but for the most part, it's you kind of have to watch what happened beforehand to know what's going on here. But if you just walked into this movie and sat down and started watching it, having not seen one Marvel movie before, you may have some questions, but I think overall it would still be a solid movie.
All right. Now, we got one more clip before we wrap this up, but this is just for you guys, because the love for Giant Man apparently is forever going. Can we call him Giant Man now?
How about our other recruit?
He's raring to go. Had to put a little coffee in him, but he should be good.
What time zone is this?
Come on. Come on.
Captain America.
Mr. Lang.
It's an honor. I'm shaking your hand too long. Wow, this is awesome.
Captain America, I know you too. You're great.
Jeez. Look, I want to say, I know you know a lot of super people, so thanks for thinking of me.
Hey, man.
What's up, Tic Tac?
Good to see you. Look, what happened last time?
It was a great audition, but it'll never happen again.
They tell you what we're up against?
Something about some psycho assassins?
We're outside the law on this one. So if you come with us, you're a wanted man.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
Oh, Tic Tac. What's up, Tic Tac? All right, guys. Who is your, Brian, who's your overall favorite hero from the movie? They got like 47 superheroes in this movie. Who's your favorite?
Wow. Yeah, I've got to say Cap. He grows on me more and more with every movie. His in this world of bending and shades of gray, he's absolute. They made a statement about standing firm when everything around you, something about says to it's okay to bend and then something like that or to give in, and you still, even though everybody says you're wrong, you know you're right, and yet you still stay the course. So I like that about Captain America, and so that's, and they're even showing that part of him a lot more lately than earlier. So where before he was a little bit more naive, now he's a little bit more hardened, but yet he sticks to his ideals.
All right. Scotty, who's your favorite hero overall?
I agree totally. Cap has become my favorite, as I mentioned earlier. And the thing that's so cool about Cap, and I know this wasn't in this movie, but Captain America was, Steve Rogers was had the biggest heart of anybody before he got his superpowers. Mm-hmm. He wanted nothing more than to get in and fight the bad guys and do what was right. And, you know, constantly got knocked down, even when he was nothing. And then when he did get the super strength and all this and looked good with his shirt off, he still never condescended. He never looked down on anyone. He never had this snarky attitude. He was just genuinely good. And he always is. Even when he's conflicted, his biggest conflicts are about what, you know, which good side do I go with? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I just love the character so much.
Man, it's a sweep. It is a clean sweep. Cap, too. Yeah, not Spider-Man. Cap. He has been the character, and Spider-Man's my favorite hero of all time. And yes, I do love his 15 minutes. But, man, he has become my favorite character outside of Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He just has everything you guys talked about. He's got heart. He is the rock. He is the world's rock. He always does what he's supposed to do, and he's the guy that won't move. And, you know, when he does that eloquent speech, or he's told that eloquent speech from Sharon, and I think in the comic, actually, Cap is the one that gives that speech to a kid or something. But that speech about how when you have to do the right thing, when you're the one that has to stand in the way and say, no, I'm not budging, this is what's right, and someone tells you to move, you say, no, you move. That is the epitome of who Captain America is and what we expect our heroes to be. For me, I mean, Tony Stark is great, and don't get me wrong, as much as I was saying I don't want him in every movie, I still like Tony Stark. It's just I'm tired of seeing him in every movie. And the one thing about Tony Stark is he's got a lot of weakness, really. He's got a lot of flaws, and he's got a lot of self-loathing. You know, that's part of his character. Captain America doesn't have that. He doesn't sit around and feel sorry for himself and pity himself and make fun of other people. He just does what's right, and that's all he does. Mm-hmm. That's his mission. He's like the Terminator for good. And I love him.
Would you like to see that darker side of Tony Stark at this stage? Stark. Just because Tony Stark is an alcoholic, you know, in the comics.
Yeah, he's
He's got an alcoholic. He's got all these dependencies and stuff that he vices.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got all of these human flaws that really a lot of people can relate to, but he's almost like so good in a different way than Cap is, but he's almost just so good. You almost can't do that to him.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
would you like to see that?
Yes.
To give him just basically it'd give him a different facet, a different way. If he's going to be in these movies, I would. If mm-hmm. he's going to be in these movies, I need them to change him up in some fashion.
Yes, I agree.
And I think parlaying him with the comic book stories, that would be a good way to turn him. So
yes, and I would also say I want another Captain America movie, and I want just a Captain America movie, like Winter Soldier style. Captain America movie. That's what I would love. I would rather have that than an Iron Man 4, which I know now Robert Downey Jr. is open to, because I think he's scared to leave this world at this point. Any parting thoughts from you guys as we wrap the show up?
No, I'm good.
I think we pretty much said it all. Go see this movie. I think if you've listened this far, you probably already have, but go see it a second time. It's really, really good.
Absolutely.
I know I personally want to go see it again. I tried to this weekend. I was caught a bug Friday morning, or woke up feeling sick Thursday morning, and Thursday was my only time I could really go see it, and that was I felt like crap that whole movie. So I would like to go see it, and I know that skewed my, and I actually gave it probably a 7 whenever I left, and I even rounded it up to an 8 just so that, because I knew I
that's
wasn't
a hell of a rounding up. That's like a whole point.
Well, I really felt like crap.
I got you. So, I got you. It burned when you peed. I understand.
So, yeah. So, and this weekend was pretty much just recuperating. So, okay. I would definitely want to go see it again.
Yep. Same here. Go see it. It's definitely worth seeing. It's a fun movie. Definitely check it out. Remember, you can go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can read the full detailed spoiler-free review that David McGraw wrote for us. It's great. It's long, but it's great. You can find that at the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find us on Twitter at @H_Outsider, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free through your Apple or Android apps, iTunes, Spotify, through your RSS feed and the podcast app of choice. And remember, share the show with your friends. Please tell them. It really, really does help the show. Next week, we're coming back with a topic on the perfect summer movie. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of nostalgia probably, so be sure to check that out. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Brian and Scott for being here.
My pleasure.
Mine too.
All right, and remember, the next time you go to a theater, to see Captain America: Civil War, buy popcorn.